Have you ever tried to explain why there's so much blood on those tissues in the garbage can in the bathroom to your partner? Well, times like that are over, thanks to my friends over at Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job, so you can trim up the hedges to satisfy your partner. The new Lawnmower 3.0 is designed with a compact shape for easy maneuvering while wet or dry, because let's face it, guys, everything is better when it's wet. It is also featuring precision engineering blades for a safe trimming in, well, let's say those sensitive areas, so you don't have to curse every time you try to shave. So go over to manscaped.com right now and use the promo code RANTERSNATION to get 20% off your entire order and free shipping. That's amazing, isn't it? Free shipping in addition to 20% off by just visiting manscaped.com and using the promo code RANTERSNATION.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others, with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
This is the Ringside Rant with RJ, and I'm Colin West from Synergy Wrestling. Yeah. All right, RJ, I got you that musical bumper that you... What do you mean you were kidding about the musical? Well, I'm going to sound like an... Son of a bitch!
Yes, it's Wednesday, so you know what time that is. It is time to join Ranters Nation with another great interview this week. I had the great, great honor of sitting down with a up-and-coming independent wrestling superstar, TJ Crawford. He's all over the Northeast here, Synergy Pro, Limitless, all these great promotions up here in the Northeast. He's out of Chicago, so you know... You know he's a great wrestler because he's born and bred there in the Chicago area. With that being said, I just want to give a couple shout-outs this week. First and foremost, to everybody in the wrestling community, in the podcasting wrestling community, Boots to the Face, Talkmania, Doing the Favor, Fully Posable, everybody in the Fig Nation, you know who you are. I don't want to leave anybody out. Everybody in there that did the Zoom call with me last night, absolutely phenomenal to finally sit down and chat with you. Try to make this community a lot better than it already is. With that being said, head over to the Ringside Rant on Twitter at ringsiderant_RJ. Give me a follow. Follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/ringsiderant. Follow the show's page across all your major podcasting platforms. Subscribe, give me a 5-star review, I'll give a shout out on the show. Head over to ringsiderant.deco-apparel.com/shop to get your great, great Ringside Rant apparel. I thank you so much. I'm trying to work on different ways to give back to you as well, so stay tuned to the Twitter page. I may have some big, big announcements with that in regards to that. Head over to powerslam.tv right now and use the promo code RINGSIDERANT now to get your first 30 days free over at powerslam.tv. Also, head over to fullpresscoverage.com/radio and subscribe to the Ringside Rant. Big thanks to our friends over at Full Press Coverage and Full Press Radio as well. Head over to reapersbrew.com. Get your great, great coffee grounds over there. I'm almost out, so I'm going to have to get some more. Head over to reapersbrew.com. Tell them RJ from the Ringside Rant sent you. Also, follow them on Twitter at Reapers Brew. Lastly, check out Fight.tv. You get everything from So Says Sure Enough to the PWR every day of the week, in addition to all the great wrestling content that they put out, head over, create a profile, and purchase all these great indie promotions. Synergy Pro, AAW, Progress. Go over to fight.tv and let them know RJ sent you over here from Ranters Nation. Lastly, thank you each and every one of you for tuning in this week. Share it on Twitter, share it on Facebook. A big thank you goes out to Lori. Lori, you've done a lot for me. I appreciate you. And thank you and welcome to Ranters Nation. Welcome back to the Ringside Rant and welcome to Ranters Nation. I have a man that I just started watching probably a few months ago. He was wrestling up here in the Rochester and Buffalo area. He is the Windy City Kid himself. He is TJ Crawford. TJ, how you doing tonight, man?
All right, man. I'm doing well. Doing well. Trying to keep busy during all this, so.
Yeah, it's before we got started recording. It's interesting to see how different wrestling is during this whole quarantine, since you, like you said, you've been out in Chicago since, you know, this whole epidemic started, and you're heading back here east to Jersey soon. And how have you been, you know, dealing with not being on the road, dealing with not wrestling or whatnot?
I mean, it's definitely different. It's definitely very different. So this is the longest that I've spent back home in Chicago since I had moved to New Jersey 4 years ago. I think ever since I've started my training, the longest I've been home is maybe like a week and a half. So this is going on about a month and a half now. So it's like, it's so different for me. And it's like trying to keep up the same eating habits that I was when I was wrestling every weekend and stuff like that is definitely difficult, because it's kind of like, you don't have to make sure you're in shape or make sure your body feels a certain way for a certain day, where now it's kind of just, okay, like if I cheat myself on my diet one day, it's not going to kill me because I don't have anything coming up, which is a terrible mindset to have, but it's a mindset I think a lot of people are going through right now. But I am fortunate enough, though, while I'm in Chicago, to have access to a small gym. So I have been staying in shape. I just posted on Twitter like nice little progression from when quarantine started to today, and I think I've been doing pretty well for myself. But it can always do better. So. Just, yeah, the only thing keeping me occupied right now is just working out and just watching insane amounts of wrestling.
Yeah, you and me both, my friend. I think I've watched everything from, I started at, let's see, what did I start? I started 85 Starrcade. And it's fun because I have an 8-year-old son, and I have him sit with me and watch all the, like, the Dusties and Flares and Harleys and all that stuff. And he's like, oh, Daddy, how old are you? I'm like, okay, this was 85. Okay, Daddy was one. So, and, you know, and with yourself, because you're what, like 23, 24, right?
Yeah, I'm 23.
Okay. So I'm like, that was way, 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 way.
Yeah. I mean, I go back and watch it.
Yeah. No, that's great. No, but it's one of those things now. It's like you can always watch so much of the current product, whatever it may be, and then you just want to go back and watch, you know, that stuff from the 80s, from the 90s, because that's really when, you know, when it was really good. You know, it was, you know, you could live in any part of the country and get anything.
Yeah.
What's kind of stuff that you've been keeping up on as far as, you know, watching a lot of it, you said?
So Ring of Honor has actually been posting a lot of throwback matches and stuff like that. So I've been keeping up to date with that. I've always been a big fan of Ring of Honor. Not so much before I got into wrestling, but once I got into wrestling, I started really getting into Ring of Honor, because I wasn't a fan of like independent wrestling growing up. I was the only wrestling I knew was WWE and TNA. So once I got into wrestling, I got really into Ring of Honor. But now that they're posting a lot of their throwback matches and stuff like that, like Chris Hero matches and old Bryan Danielson matches and Kevin Steen and even back to like when AJ Styles and when Raven and CM Punk were having their feud. Like, I mean, they've been posting a lot of that, so I've been watching that pretty much every, like, at least like a match or two, sometimes three a day of just that. And then I'll watch, you know, like, I'll just pop on like a random like WWE pay-per-view from early 2000s, 90s, whatever, and just kind of watch the whole show and see what I liked from the show, what I didn't like from the show, and stuff I can use for myself and stuff like that. So I'm all over the place when it comes to watching wrestling. It's like I never have a specific like style or like year that I like to watch at a certain time. It's just like whatever happens to like come across my TV, I'm like, let's watch that. Let's watch this. Yeah. Let's watch that.
Yeah, because the first match I saw you live, and you know, seeing all the videos that I've seen with you with Synergy in New Jersey there, you know, the shows that I've watched you on there to other shows, just streaming stuff, you know, it's, you have to, and I'm not just blowing smoke up here as of this point that you're on the show, but, you know, I've told this to Colin West too, who's the owner over there at Synergy. I'm like, you have to see TJ Crawford live, period, because I saw you against Anthony Gaines up here in Rochester, and that I'm like you couldn't go anywhere, you know, because a lot of the times everybody's moving. I'm like, why is everybody walking around? you know, but to go from that, like, you can do, you know, that ground and pound like you did with him. You can do, you know, the high flying, and you can even get, you know, you get a little hardcore if you have to, but is there, like, do you just kind of want to get a little bit of everything in your arsenal, or do you want to be like, once you know, you get a little older, you get a little wiser, whatever the case may be, do you want to kind of narrow that down?
I mean, I guess right now I'm kind of, my mindset is let's like kind of dip into everything, all the different kinds of styles, like the Lucha style, the British style, hardcore style, strong style, whatever it may be. I kind of want to dip my toes into every little aspect of wrestling, because you never know, I might start doing some Lucha style and really fall in love with that, and then I kind of adapt my style based off that. So I keep myself open to all the different styles of wrestling, because you never know what's going to work for you. And it's good to kind of know all those styles, because every single person that you get into the ring with is going to have a different style. So if you're one of the guys who is able to adapt himself to kind of everyone you step into the ring with, that just makes for not only a better match, it makes you, I feel, an all around better performer, because you do have that versatility.
Yeah. And that's a lot of, especially in the independent circuit today, you see a lot of the more experienced workers, whomever they may be, they got to be a little bit more well-rounded. You got to pretty much be able to do anything, because that's, with that, you know, that comes with the bookings, you know, that's, you know, bookers or whatever, matchmakers, whatever you want to call them, are going to see that and be like, okay, I want TJ Crawford against, you know, Anthony Green or, you know, whomever, Anthony Gangone, whomever, you know, because you can have that different different constructs and to go against each other. But like that, with that being said, you know, you just posted something today that, whether it was Facebook, Twitter, yesterday, four years ago, yesterday was your first match. What, obviously looking back on it, do you, you know, think fondly of that match, or was that kind of one of those things where you go back and, you know, you kind of go back, have you watched that match before if it's available, or, you know, or not?
It's hard to watch it because it was just a rookie battle royal. But I mean, like, the talent that was in the battle royal is awesome. Like, you had like MJF was in it, Bear Bronson was in it, Johnny Clash was in it, Francis Kip Stevens, a lot of the guys that I trained with from up in the Creative Pro New York school and the Creative Pro New Jersey school. So like going back, I can't really watch it and like pick things apart from it, because it is only just a battle royal. But I do remember like walking through the curtain and feeling like a rush of adrenaline, and just like, it sounds so cliche, but like, it's almost like a realization of like, yeah, I feel like this is where I should be. This is where everything that I've ever done in my life has led to this exact moment. And like, whenever I've heard that before, I've always been like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that's just people say that. But like, it's true. It's definitely true. That like, if wrestling is something that you're very like passionate about, that when you get through that curtain for the first time, there's no other feeling that will ever be like that. Mm-hmm. So I haven't gone back and watched the match per se. Like I said, it was just a battle royal, so there's not really much I can watch from it. And I don't even think on the video you see me much. I'm in there for maybe like 30 seconds to a minute. But yeah, I just the day itself, I'll never forget that the day.
Now, you know, it's a common occurrence from everybody that I've talked to, whether they be independent wrestlers or whether they be guys in ROH or WWE guys, whatever the case may be. Have you always that rush of adrenaline when you go through that curtain? Has that and that rush changed since that day to now?
I don't know if it changed. I guess it has changed because there is that like. That first time you walk through the curtain, it's like a different feeling than the 10th time or the 100th time, whatever it may be. But I still, you know, I was just as nervous for that match as I am for matches that I have today. You know, I think I maintain that same level of like having nerves and the butterflies before a match because you never know what's going to happen. Something could always go wrong or something. Like, to me, the match isn't real until the bell rings. So you could be right behind the curtain, nervous but ready to go, and then the match gets taken away from you, like within seconds of you supposed to be going out there. That hasn't happened to me, but I have heard stories of like I was supposed to have this match, and then like right before the match was about to start, they changed it all up. So like, yeah, I guess it's a different. It's the same adrenaline rush, but a different feeling.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying. You know, going from Chicago, from home to back to Jersey, you know, obviously wrestling fans know that are listening to this, Chicago is probably one of the, if not the, hottest bed of wrestling in the country, if not the world. But then you go over to Jersey, you got Jersey, Connecticut, New York, Long Island, whatever, another hotbed. How, you know, obviously you work a lot of both places. You know, how do you, you know, prepare yourself or, you know, change your moveset, if you do, for both sets of crowds? Because they're totally different.
Well, I've never had the chance to wrestle in Chicago or anywhere in Illinois. The closest that I got to wrestle to home was for Black Label Pro back in February. So that was the closest I got to having to being in front of like a Midwestern crowd. But even up and down the East Coast, you know, like you mentioned, like Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. I think it's definitely different in New Jersey than it is in New York. I think New York is more of a smart marquee crowd, whereas New Jersey, you get more of like family friendly shows. Moveset wise or mindset, it really doesn't change because the way I look at it is you should always go out there with and give it 110% because you never know who's watching. So like to me, trying to change up your style or change up your moveset for one crowd and then doing something different for another crowd doesn't work that's just personal because there are people who I know who change up their style and change up their moveset depending on where they're working at. But for me, I kind of like to wrestle the same no matter where I'm wrestling at because, like I said, you never know who's watching. There could always be somebody in the crowd who has a connection somewhere who they're going to watch you wrestle. Or they might have seen you wrestle one place, come see you at another place, and they're like, why is he doing so many different things? Like nothing he did in place A, he's doing in place B. So that's just my mindset behind it is you should kind of not keep it the same, but not stray too far away from your original self.
So you pretty much just go through the same sort of match preparation, whatever it may be, wherever you are.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, there are times where you're gonna have a match, where I feel like you have a match that not necessarily is more important, but might have more of like, I'm trying to think, I don't know like the word to describe it. I guess important, I guess, would be the word to describe it. Like my match that I had with Chris Statlander at Beyond, like my mindset going into that was so different than the mindset I've had going into, you know, like the match with Anthony Gaines at ESW. Like I had two different mindsets going into it just because they're in front of two different, again, because they're in front of two different crowds with two different opponents who wrestle two different styles. But like I said, it's adapting yourself to who you're wrestling is different than changing what you're doing. So I think you have to, adapt, but not change.
Right. So, you know, you mentioned before, you know, you came out of the Creative Pro Wrestling Academy there with Pat Buck, and I guess we could call him Brian Myers now, the former AKA Curt Hawkins. How have they set you up to, you know, 4 years ago when you started, you know, into the your first match? How have they, you know, set up your career mindset, you know, if that makes sense, if you do you still talk to them on a regular basis, you know, obviously being there in New Jersey, they're there in the area?
So where I was at was Creative Pro New Jersey, which was run by Pat Buck, Dan Moff, Kevin Matthews, and Mario Baccara. Okay. So I didn't have a lot of time to train with Brian Myers, Curt Hawkins, whatever you want to call him. I have done like a few classes up at the Creative Pro New York School with Brian, but nothing to like a big extent to where I can say that like he trained me. Like I would never go on record to say that Brian Myers trained me because he didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, I've associated with people who he's trained or people that he shares a school with, but I wouldn't say that I was trained by Brian Myers. But like I said, Pat Buck, Dan Moff, Mario Baccara, Kevin Matthews were the four head trainers or head guys at the Creative for New Jersey School. And there were guys, I keep in touch with Dan Moff a lot. Me and him got really close over the past few years. Pat Buck, I keep in touch with just because, again, he was a guy who kind of trained me from scratch. I talked to Kevin Matthews probably almost like every other day. And Mario Baccara, I keep in touch with him a lot. So, but they definitely helped me get my mind right, because when I joined the school, I wasn't in the right mindset. I don't think I was like mentally ready for it, but they definitely got me to a mental state that would help me in my first match and in matches to come. And they've always been super open to giving me advice. And if I ever needed anything, I know I can always call those guys, and they would always give me give me the best advice possible. So those four guys that I named are top notch. Would recommend Creative Pro New Jersey to anybody who wants to start training, because I think it's a perfect school to start at.
Yeah, it's so great to see, especially with Dan Maff, you going back to him coming, getting there in ROH. And I haven't seen him wrestle in a while since he's, you know, before he's gotten into ROH there. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, hold, I think he was facing, who the heck was he facing? That one of those ROH, well, before everything happened. But, it's going to kill me now that I can't remember the guy's name, because it's a fairly common name. But no, it's just two beasts going at it, and it's just like, just throwing ham bones against each other.
Was it the PCO match?
Might have been. Was it the tag match?
Oh, no, the tag match. I think it was him and Jeff Cobb.
Jeff Cobb, that's what it was, yeah.
I'm trying to think of one of the matches that they had, like, recently. It was him and Jeff Cobb, Jay Lethal and Gresham, maybe.
That's what it might have been, but it's just... I thought I mentioned something to one of my wrestling buddies. I'm like, man, just you got to watch this match again, because you get these veterans in there. Whenever you think Jay Lethal, Dan Maff, it's just like just them alone. The experience that they've had since they're in their career. I always go, people think I go out on a limb and saying, you know, at this point, Jay Lethal is ROH. By far.
I would agree with that.
Just because if when you say, okay, whether it be WWE, any promotion, he's been that mainstay. Obviously, he's had his run in TNA and Impact and whatever you want to call it. But he's always had that ROH background.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just those types of matches are just unbelievable just to watch. But, you know, over the last, you know, like we said, the last month or two since we've had this, you know, quarantine, you know, the conversation a lot of people have been trying to have is wrestling an essential business? Obviously, we came out in Florida and said that, okay, it's an essential business. So a lot of promotions are running, AEW, WWE are running in Florida. Do you think, you know, that, you know, wrestling is an essential business? Do you think that that's true to a certain extent?
It's a weird one. It's definitely like a topic that is hard to discuss, because to me and to wrestling fans, wrestling would be not only considered essential, but it's considered as part of our daily lives. So we look at it as, well, yeah, if there's no wrestling on TV, what am I going to watch on a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever day it may be? And I think I'm okay with them, you know, keeping up with the shows, because it is a form of escapism for people. There is that form of take yourself out of what's going on in the world and just sit down and enjoy some wrestling. Just enjoy what's being broadcast to you. So I'm not going to say whether I think it is essential or not essential, but that's going to be my take on it, is,
yeah,
because it is going on, use it as an escape instead of worrying about if it's essential or not. That's my take on it.
Right. You know, and before we saw, you know, all this, you know, pandemic happened, we saw that you got a chance to go to Impact and wrestle Josh Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
How probably one of the, you know, especially here in the Northeast, as you know, he's one of those mainstays here in the Northeast, up in the Southern Canada, all over, pretty much all over Canada, period.
Mm-hmm.
What did you take away from that experience that you had wrestling him in a singles match there at Impact?
I mean, Josh was first off, he was just such like a nice guy to talk to. He was just like, he was very open to ideas. He was very open to like, he wanted to get the best out of me instead of just look at it. Cause there is that stigma with a lot of like guys who wrestle on TV that if they get these kind of like job matches where they just kind of wrestle like a local guy, they'll just kind of want to get all their shit in and not worry about the guy that they're wrestling. And that, you know, to an extent, that's like what a lot of the times it's for, but this one, they wanted to be more of like an 8-minute kind of like, not back and forth, but a little competitive. And I went into it with the mindset of, I don't want to do anything. Like, anything you want to do, sir, mm-hmm. I'm totally open to you. But he was very like receptive, and he wanted to get the most out of me, because one thing he did tell me was that he was in my shoes once. He was a guy who had an explosion match, that was his opportunity to shine. So he wanted me to make the most out of it and not worry about him looking good. He wanted to make sure that I looked good. He wanted to make sure that I was able to get myself over with not able to the audience, but hopefully everybody in the back. So that was such a cool experience to get to wrestle Josh at an Impact taping. And I still keep in touch with Josh today. So.
Mm. Now, was that the only time that you had to wrestle in the Impact there? Because I thought I saw you, didn't you wrestle a couple times there?
That was the second time that I did one of the Impact TV tapings. The first time was actually a year before that with my old tag partner, Freddie, with the Beach Bums.
Okay.
And then Russell Pro has done a couple like joint shows with Impact that I've done before.
Yeah. What, you know, obviously you're putting your feelings out there now. Obviously, my opinion, of course, is once all this stuff ends up, you know, subsiding and whatever, you know, I think we're going to see one of those blasts of independent wrestling even more than it was already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we said before, 4 years since your first match, going from there in 2016 to now 2020, would you have thought that independent wrestling would be as big as it is today than it was then at that point?
No, because like I said, like I wasn't a huge fan of independent wrestling before I got into it. So I wasn't aware of like what was going on until I got into it. And once I got into it, I was like, you know what? There's a lot going on that I don't think people are like realizing that is going on. And then now with independent wrestling TV and High Spots Network and all the different streaming services that are going on now, independent wrestling has become so much more accessible to people, which I think is which has helped kind of like blossom it into what it is now. And I think it's only going to grow from here, especially after this quarantine and pandemic and lockdown is all over. Fans, wrestlers are going to be so eager to get back into it that I think post quarantine, post pandemic, whatever you want to call it, is going to be like the hot time for wrestling.
Yeah, because you're really starting to see more, obviously with WWE and AEW being the only promotions that are running, you're starting to see how impactful an live audience or an audience in general can be, whether it be independent or whatnot, because you could get that that energy from them. But with that being said, you know, who have been some of those guys that in over the last, you know, little while that you've kind of, you know, branched to get advice from? You know, obviously we mentioned everybody at Creative Pro New Jersey that you've dealt with, but you know, anybody outside of that that you go to just get advice on, you know, should I do this? Should I do that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Anthony Green is a big one. Anthony Green, I met him probably about 3 years ago when I was probably only like a year into wrestling, before he was Retro AG, when he was still doing the All Good Anthony Green thing. He's someone who over the years I've definitely, because I've noticed, obviously, that he's risen his stock up like crazy, and he's reinvented himself, going from All Good Anthony Green to Retro Anthony Green like he's doing now. So he's definitely somebody that I've tried to pick his brain a little bit and see what his mindset on stuff is and how he feels, like how to evolve your character and how to evolve your in-ring style and how to do all that. So he's definitely the first that comes to mind.
So, you know, going from, like we mentioned, promotion to promotion to promotion, sometimes you know who you're going to be going against, who you're going to be working with. Sometimes you don't. So you kind of got to get to the venue, talk to them, whatever. But like, say you do know you got this person coming up. How are you preparing? Are you, you know, messaging them, you're calling them, you're Skyping, what are you preparing different ways for that?
I mean, the way I prepare for, especially against somebody who I don't know, like maybe who I've heard of and seen some stuff on, but don't know them personally or have never met them before, I always try to watch as much of their matches or as much of their like highlights or whatever that I can get my hands on of them. Mm-hmm. This way, when I go into the show, I have an idea of what kind of wrestler this person is, or what kind of style they have, or what kind of timing they have when they're doing certain things. So yeah, that's really the only preparation I kind of do, is I kind of just watch whoever I'm supposed to be wrestling, if I know in advance, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if I don't know who I'm wrestling in advance and I don't find out until I get there, it's hard to like have ideas, because you might have an idea, but that's not what they do. It doesn't fit with them. So then you have to – that becomes more of a sit down, let's talk for like 15, 20 minutes and figure out not so much of what we're going to do in the ring. Let's see how we mesh just talking for 15 minutes, and then we can figure out like how we're going to piece things together.
Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned you wrestled Chris Statlander. You know, a lot of, you know, the scuttlebutt, I guess you could call it, before, you know, was that intergender wrestling, you know, where whomever it may be, you know, is that something that, you know, you had one match with her? Are you looking, you know, to wrestle other, you know, intergender matches in the future, or you just basically gonna, you know, wrestle where you can?
I mean, I would love to have more intergender matches. I've had a few with, like I said, I've had that match with Chris Statlander, and I got to wrestle a good friend of mine, Corinne Mink, at a few other promotions. So I would love to do more intergender matches, because to me, there's like, it's not even so much like structuring them differently, but crowds will definitely look at the match differently. They won't look at it as two women wrestling each other or two men wrestling each other. They look at it as, it's almost every time you have an intergender match, it's almost always that the female is the babyface and the male is the heel. Like, without even, if that's not what you're going into the match with, like, trying to do, that's almost always going to be the case. And I don't think there's anything wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because then it just makes for a much better time wrestling, because then whatever you had planned, throw it out the window, because these fans don't want to see you win. So let's try to work it to where, like, we get the female side, like, shined up a little bit more. But yeah, I definitely would love to do more intergender matches. That match with Chris Statlander was so much fun. So
yeah, I can imagine. Now, how often does that happen where you have one mindset going into a match, you talk to the guy or gal, whomever you're working with, and then you get out there and the crowd's totally opposite? You know, has that ever happened to you? And two, if it has, how do you, you know, call that audible in the ring? Or do you just basically say, the heck with it, we'll call it in the ring?
I mean, it's some crowds are different. Like you said, like, it could be viewed as, I'm the babyface, the other guy's the heel. Then you get out there and they're cheering the heel, booing the babyface. And I don't think you necessarily have to change what you're doing, because if they're cheering on the heel, they want to see him kick your ass then. Mm-hmm. So the whole portion of the match where we like to call it the heat is, that's basically going to be his shine then. That's going to be his big moment, you know, and that's when the crowd's going to cheer for him. So I don't think necessarily changing things up on the fly or in the ring or is like a necessity, but there are times where you're going to have to, like, okay, well, the fans aren't feeling this, so let's change everything up. So I mean, I've had matches where we plan X, Y, Z, and then we get out there and they're not reacting to anything. So it's like, okay, well, we got to change something up, or we got to do something different that's going to get them engaged before we can even get to the next thing we have planned.
Mm-hmm. So you're living in Jersey now. You're pretty much, you know, a mainstay, for better use of terms, with Synergy Pro. Mm-hmm. How did you get hooked up with Synergy, with Colin and the whole gang over there?
So when I first started wrestling, Synergy was kind of the first, when I first started, Synergy wasn't a thing yet. But then I think they started in 2017 is when they had their first show. I could be wrong on that. So Colin, if you're listening, don't hate me. but I'd had friends that I trained with who were working there, and I would always ask them, like, hey, you know, like, how do I get in here? Who runs it? And they were like, oh, this guy, Colin West, shoot him a message on Facebook. And I would message Colin every single opportunity I had to shoot him a message to try to work for him, I did. And it was always that, I always got that, you know, that we don't have anything open right now. If anything opens up, I'll let you know. And I got that for about a year and a half. And it got to a point where in my mind, it's like, okay, maybe he just doesn't want my team to work there. And then when I started doing my own singles thing, reached out again, and, you know, same thing happens. Let you know when we got a spot opened up. And November, I think it was November 24th. It was the Black Friday show. The night, literally, I think it was the night before, Colin had shot me a text. Hey, I had someone pull off the show. Would you like an opportunity to come work? So I immediately jumped on it, and I think I've been on every Synergy show since. I think I might have missed one, but I think I've only missed one. So I've been on like every single Synergy show since that day. So that was the way I got hooked up with Colin, and then me and Colin developed a very good relationship. And he was one of my best friends in wrestling, someone I could talk to every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had him on my show before, and he's just one of those guys. It's like I had him do a couple of drops, and you just see that personality come out, and mm-hmm. you don't, you know, I've met a lot of owners, a lot of bookers, whatever you want to call them in independent wrestling. And he is, I guess you could say, unique in a good way.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good way to put it.
Because he can, you know, be your best friend, but he can also, you know, really, you know, if he needs to be, really come down on you if you're, you know, you're doing this, he wants it this way or that way or whatever the case may be. Synergy is just one of those promotions where, and I told him, I said, if it wasn't the fact where I had to drive 6 hours from upstate New York here to get down to you, I'd come to every freaking show, because, you know, I'll do whatever I have to do to watch a Synergy show, whoever's on the card, you know, just because I know the, you know, obviously with Colin putting it on and the talent in the locker room, you know, it's going to be a banger of a show.
Yeah, I would definitely like. When I got there, I remember walking into the locker room and seeing all the guys there, and I was like, even from that moment, I was like, this is a great locker room, and it's only gotten better. Mm-hmm. Like from that first show that I did, it's only gotten better. He's added people to the locker room that are valuable assets, and I think Synergy has one of the best rosters, at least in New Jersey, if not within the entire Northeast.
Oh yeah, and that's putting him in a very high standards too, because you get a lot of the, you know, the Limitless up in Northeast. You get a lot of those great promotions up in the New England area. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I'd put him up against pretty much anything.
Yeah, 100%.
And I said that to bring this up. And you know where I'm going to go with this is he put out a tweet this evening, and it was in response to a picture of you and your dad at home in Chicago. And he mentioned that I don't know if he said he was going to book it or if someone else should book it.
No, he would definitely want somebody else to book it.
Oh yeah, because he'd feel guilty, I'm sure. Yeah. But you get DJ and Papa Crawford versus LSG and Dad GSG, I guess his terminology. I am like, okay, that doesn't look right, but I'll say it anyways. LSG, like another, a guy like LSG, he's been a mainstay in that Northeast too. I've seen him wrestle live once, and he's, you know, to get you two guys in the ring, I'm like, just take it. Just go. Just take my money and go. In response to what Colin said, is that, you know, what would have to happen for that to happen, I guess you could say.
Man, I don't think that it would basically be a 2-on-1 handicap match. It would basically be me against LSG and his dad, because my dad has MS, so he walks with a walker and stuff like that. So he wouldn't be able to actually step into the ring and wrestle, but he would definitely hang out there. He would definitely hang out at ringside and watch me get my ass kicked by LSG and his dad. If you've seen LSG and his dad work out on, like, LSG's Instagram or whatever, like, his dad's big. His dad's a big dude. Like, that's not saying, like, my dad's not a big dude, but, like, LSG's dad's a big dude.
Yeah.
Now, so, like, I think he could take – him alone could take me down, and then you add LSG into it, forget about it.
Have you, going back, have you
had the opportunity to get in one-on-one with him or no?
I've never wrestled LSG one-on-one, but we've been in we were in a scramble match together and we were in a ladder match together.
Mm-hmm.
We've never, so like every time we've ever been in the ring, it's always been in like a multi-man format. We've never touched one-on-one.
So hint, Colin West, Synergy Pro Wrestling. We can book this as soon as this happens. Now we can just put that on the card right now. No, I'm sure it's in the back of his mind now. Anyways, I'm sure he's kind of like a one of those little whiteboards or something in his house or something. Okay, he's got lines and
what's
going all over the place.
Definitely the way it's like. I can just picture it right now. Like I can see him sitting there, looking at it. All right, how can we do this? We could do that. Like I could just picture him doing that in my head.
You know, it's one of those things. I don't know if you've seen the. Have you seen the movie Beautiful Mind?
I haven't.
One of those things where it's a he's. I forgot what the main character, but it was one of those things where he just writes everything down. He writes arrows, and I'm like, that has to be whatever's happening in Collins West's brain.
Yeah.
Because you know it could vary, or it could be very well those one of those play monkeys with the symbols or something. Who knows?
I wouldn't rule out either.
Yeah, well, at certain times, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I can't. It's for what Colin does for Synergy. I you know, and I've told him this. I'm like, I commend you because there's no other wrestling promotion that I see in that Northeast, like you said, that it can hold a candle. One and two or is anywhere close to being similar to it, and which is commends him because so many different independent wrestling promotions, you know. I've seen it was plagued by the same, you know, same memo.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, that's my hat's off. I'm not going to take it off because my headphones come off, but hats off to Colin West. But, you know, I got a listener's questions here to get in real quick. My buddy Bill says, if you can make up your own four horsemen stable, who would be in it?
Well, first, I know who sent this question. It's my friend Bill from high school. I think I've seen him post the questions. That's my friend Bill from high school. So, Bill, if you're listening, I love you and miss you, my man. I haven't seen him in years. But if I can make a four horseman stable, my own four horseman stable would definitely be CM Punk, Edge, Rey Mysterio, and Jeff Hardy. Those are my four favorite wrestlers of all time. So those are the four that I'm going to put into my four horsemen stable.
Yeah, Edge, funny story about Edge and Jeff Hardy is the first wrestlers I've ever met in person, I actually met Edge, Christian, and Al Snow in a Cracker Barrel in Buffalo.
Oh, man.
And this was before, he was, like, big. This is when, basically, it's kind of like, not yet Brood, but he was still fairly new because this was probably, I want to say 99 maybe. So this was before he really
started it.
Yeah. And then I saw Jeff Hardy's first heavyweight title win in Buffalo at, I forgot what pay-per-view it was, but.
Was that the Armageddon pay-per-view?
Is either Armageddon or.
Was it the WWE Championship win or the World Heavyweight?
It was a triple threat. I think it was
It was him, Edge, and Triple H.
Yeah.
Very good. That's the only thing I'm good at. I'm good at like remembering like the like shows and like who's in the match.
I'll remember the match. I will not remember what pay-per-view it was. And I'm like, okay.
Pretty good at that.
I'm like, okay, well that's okay. This is here. If that goes there. But yeah, it's just, and CM Punk, I never, you know, in high school, I was always in college. I always used to call him CM Chump just because I never, and he was a heel. So I'm like, damn, he's doing a damn good job. Yeah, what are you doing? Damn good job
making you hate him. Then, like realistically, because I was such a big fan of like Jeff Hardy and Rey Mysterio, I did kind of hate CM Punk because he was like always going at Hardy or like he had like a little like mini feud with Mysterio. So, like, I always hated him, but loved him because he was from Chicago and everything, like, so.
Now, are you seeing a lot of, you know, obviously, the time we're in is totally different from what we were before, but, you know, have you been getting any calls, and you can whether you can say or not, I don't know, but you're getting a lot of calls for like extra work with, you know, bigger promotions or.
None as of right now. But I do have like all like my paperwork and stuff like that done for if there is anything that ever ever opens up or once it all comes about. But nothing, nothing recent.
Yeah, because I was definitely looking forward to, you know, AEW is supposed to be up here in Rochester in March, and everything happened with that. And then they're supposed to be in New Jersey running. I'm like, oh man, that's going to be the hotbed for all of you guys in there in New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I want to see some of those guys. Some of you guys on that, you know, on that card getting squashed by like Lance Archer or something, you know. But, but yeah, it's just. The way that AEW's come on, you know, it's just, I don't want to say it's like everybody wants to say it's a war, but it's two totally different products. Have you gotten a chance to go back and seen a lot of the old school, you know, the WCW matches? Yeah, have you kind of, you think that's kind of comparable to what we have now with AEW?
I mean, it's, and like, I have watched like, a bunch of like old Nitros and old like WCW pay-per-views. It definitely has that feel. Just I think just based off the fact that it is on TNT, it is with the Turner Network and stuff like that. So like, and it's run by there. I said like promoted and stuff like that by another Rhodes. Like it was Dusty Rhodes with WCW. Now it's Cody Rhodes with AEW. So like. I don't know if it's, I wouldn't say they're like this, they're the same. There's definitely similarities, but I think AEW is like its own thing. And I hate how people say like, oh, it's a war against WWE. Cause realistically it's not, it's just an alternative watch for say you're watching WWE one day and you're like, hey, I'm not really feeling what's going on today with this today. I'm gonna go check out this other wrestling company that's going on. And you might watch that. And you'd be like, eh, well, I'm not feeling this, but I guess I was feeling a little like it's weird. You might not be feeling like either of them, but you're automatically be always gravitated towards WWE because that's what's been around the longest and that's what everybody almost grew up on. So I think that's always like no matter what, that will always have like majority audience. But everything AEW is doing, like from the stuff that I've been keeping up on, has been doing like fantastic stuff, and I think it's awesome.
Yeah, because you're seeing a lot of now more so than when they started. You're starting to see a lot of those, and obviously now because they've been around a little bit longer, is you're starting to see those storylines build up and those stories being told instead of with WWE. It's like you're in, you're out kind of thing because you have X amount of time to, you know, you have to hit this time, you have to hit this sponsor.
Right.
Like okay, with AEW, see, it's not as rushed to me. Anyways. But it's just over the last, I'd say, since AEW has been on the scene, it's made the whole wrestling business in general a hell of a lot better, whether you're an independent wrestler, whether you're in any of these major promotions. Because for me anyways, here in Rochester, I'm sure when you're home in Jersey, is, you know, Saturday mornings, I always grew up watching ROH on Saturday afternoons. Since day one, since they came on the scene there in 02. And then you go ROH, Impact, you can watch WWE, you can watch NXT, you can watch AEW. I'm like, all in a matter of, you know, 4 days. And I'm like, how can you have that much time? I'm like, well, you can pick and choose. If you don't like one, you can watch the other. And then, you know, like you and I have been doing, you go back and watch a lot of these old school matches that, you know, you're starting to pick and choose on, you know, what stuff that you want to do. You know, how, you know, you did mention you went back and watched a lot of the old school stuff. Have you been taking, who have you been watching and taking a little bit of their moveset to kind of incorporate into yours?
Oh, whew. That's a tough one because as far as like moveset goes, I don't want to try to take moves or like moveset or stuff like that away from like some other guys because. I'm very different with the fact that I'm a lot shorter and a lot smaller than a lot of the, like, especially like guys who wrestled in the 80s and 90s, stuff like that. But like, I watch a lot of like Billy Kidman when he was in WCW. I love like Ultimo Dragon. I go back and watch a lot of like New Japan stuff. So I watch like Great Muda, and I'll watch Great Sasuke and Kawada and Misawa and guys like that. So I'm not necessarily watching it to be like, hey, what move did they do that I can steal? I kind of watch it as how did they keep the crowd engaged for the 30 minutes that they wrestled, or how did they, or I'll watch like a succession of matches and think to myself, okay, how did they keep everybody engaged for X amount of years or X amount of matches or like a series of matches that they had? Like, how did they, what was different from each match that kept people guessing that what they were going to do next?
Mm. Yeah. It's fun to go back and watch those things. Another couple guys, you know, that I've seen that kind of, to piggyback off of that, go over like an ECW, go like a Taz or somebody in that aspect where, you know, he wasn't the biggest dude in the locker room, but he wrestled like he was 6'5" and, you know, but it's just blast. He's like one of those little pit bulls that just, you know, it doesn't matter what who you are, he's gonna suplex the crap out of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, just to, you know, wind down here a little bit, what, you know, obviously do you have, it's hard to tell now, but are you set to lining stuff up once you get back to Jersey and figuring where, you know, what avenues you want to go? How are you preparing yourself for that time when, you know, governor, president, whomever says, okay, guys, you know, full go, let's go back.
Mm-hmm.
Are bookings still coming in? You know, how kind of like, not so much a peek behind the curtain kind of thing, but, you know, how are you preparing yourself for that time?
I mean, like I said, like, so as far as like bookings coming in and stuff like that, there isn't really a lot coming in because it's so, you almost like don't know when it's going to restart. So it's, you don't really want to set dates or anything until you know that we can get back to it. But as far as like preparation and keeping myself ready, like I said, like I'm still trying to keep my diet right. Still trying to work out every single day and keep my body in the right shape for once it does come back. Like, I don't want to come back and be a half a step behind or be a step behind and have to like retrain myself for the road life and training in the ring and stuff like that. I'd rather just keep myself ready or more prepared. This way, once it does come back, there's no excuse. I'm like ready to go.
So, like I said, first and foremost, thanks for coming on. I know it's, you know, busy-ish time, I guess we could say. but, you know, lastly, just plug, you know, social medias, merch stores, people that, you know, they want to get some merch from you, pictures, whatever, and go from there.
So you can buy all my t-shirts at prowrestlingtees.com/overtime TJ Crawford. If you want 8x10s or anything like that, you can shoot me a message on either Instagram or Twitter at TJC Wrestling for both Instagram and Twitter.
All right. Awesome, man. Thank you so much for coming on. I am looking forward to seeing you back Synergy Pro. Hopefully get to see you back up here in the, at least in the Western New York area, so I can see you live again. But yeah, definitely good luck. Hopefully we'll see you in the ring sometime soon.
Let's hope. And like I said, thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Psst, hey kid, have you ever heard of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show? Yes, I have, because I am he, Mr. Warren Hayes, host of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show. The Mr. Warren Hayes Show is a weekly wrestling discussion program. I like to talk about WWE, New Japan, AEW, NWA, and more, talking about it seriously, but not too seriously, so it's always a good time. So join me live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, on youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes. Or you can also find the Mr. Warren Hayes Show on your favorite podcast application. But if you do want to join us live every Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern, youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes, and I hope to see you there soon.
Hey Hey, this is Josh Chernoff from So Says Chernoff on Fight TV, and you are listening to Ringside Rant with RJ.